Thank you for the pause.
My intent was not to disrupt a holiday. I thank you for coming. It seems always I and you get a boost from our visits that we can't get from a written page. It's called energy. But I have a son in trouble. He's still searching. He's searching and searching to the point that he makes himself ill. And yet he will find nothing physically wrong. And yet, ones don't know exactly what it is that they are searching for. Because purpose is so elusive. And if you haven't learned to identify, you will accept the wrong energy input. And this is a good way to judge your energy, because if you have a teacher who does not train you to make sure you know and demand that all ones with any fragment of dark intent get from you, they will be the first. And it has to be on a level of intent, not game playing with a lip. And most ones learning to, quote, channel or automatically write or Ouija board or whatever you want to play are going to sit down and mouth, no dark energies, but hot dog, I hope they come. I hope somebody shows up. And boy, if they'll fling this thing clear off the table, I like it. You don't understand the power of that mind. But it understands, and it's going to produce for you exactly what you asked for. So I'm going to use a little example. Let me show up and identify myself, and there is nothing against which you can argue, and it scares the living daylights out of you, doesn't it, Alan?
Yes.
I didn't bring him here to pick on him. I brought him here for his confirmation. And you are among friends. I tread on toes all day and all night. And this group gets it worse of any. But we're coming into the funnel. The hard things to understand. You think it's hard to understand your government. No. Back off from it. Look, it's easy to understand them once you know the game. All things physical become very easy to understand because that is a figment of illusion and self-perpetuation and manufacture. But before you can finish your own cycle into the voidance, and I've got a graduating class, you have a job to do. And I don't tell you your jobs, because then it is my instruction. Part of your growth is to come into realization of what your job is. And Alan doesn't know at this point whether or not it was simply to be an example in this room this day. He's hoping that's it, but he's pretty sure it's not. But those are only very passing mysteries. Because as the soul opens, the knowledge comes, and that's where we're headed. You must know. You've got to get rid of this thinking. Thinking is not going to get you anywhere. You have to get somewhere with thinking when you are in the knowing, and the thought counts because it creates out there. Meditation, pondering, yes, you must, what you call physical thinking, what I would prefer to call reasoning, because that was the gift given unto you, that you might make valid choices through reasoning, not the aid of reason. That was practically the downfall of man, and got even more ridiculous. That's why now you have to begin to reverse. You have to utilize what they present to you in the physical form, find the loophole that they've written, know from the very onset that they're out to get you, and you'll make it just fine. And you never attack. I like it. Freeman uses it in Matthew. The Crystal said something about having a wolf among the sheep. Well, Freeman uses this one. You must be wise as a serpent. Yet gentle as the dove. To live in wolf country if you are a sheep. And yet a lot do. Now how do they do it? They get around their shepherd who got the gun that aims in the other direction. And you are wise in everything that you do, be it a traffic ticket. And you meet the challenge every time, not just when it's convenient for you. And you'll get better at it. Because you have a bunch of hoodlums, and you have a bunch of lawyers, and I like this one too, Freeman says, that must be what God calls serpents. Well, they are slithery. But even lawyers can be changeable. And even the adversary role against the establishment can become a valid game. More valid, actually, because there are so many on the other side. They write the rules so that you, the people, will never find them. These little loopholes. Only the smartest ones of them know they're there. Else you cannot fool all the people all the time. So there are things that you can do to invalidate everything they do to you. And I hope all of you will forgive me, because we're going to have a meeting here on Wednesday and tomorrow evening that I'm going to have to keep very small, to keep it funneled, because the purpose is to plan the strategy regarding that property on Adam Drive. And the tendency is to get completely scattered into every other fragment of law. Because in the law, almost every one of the filings have been exhausted, confronted, and now everybody is completely frantic. But we're finally on that cycle of winning. I can guarantee it now. For one thing, the lawyers see how they can do it. But it's probably going to take me all day at $700 an hour for that whole group of them to get it through between the ears. You don't let them get away with anything, and you never utter the word, if you can avoid it at all, Constitution. That's the fighting word. You act wiser than that. You go in and question them on their jurisdiction. What right do you have to do this to me? You see, traffic tickets become a great game. That's statute. And you've got a continental United States and a legislative United States, which is 10 miles square, called D.C. You have in your Constitution common law. All of your courts are admiralty law. A statute or a, quote, local law cannot compel performance. You drive across the border and it says, buckle your seatbelt. It's the law. No, it's not. How can that be the law? It compels performance. Can the officer write you a ticket for it? You bet, because he's enforcing the statute. Do you have to have your driver's plate, your thing on your car, changed in 3 days, 10 days, 30 days, 6 months? Doesn't matter. It's a statute. And you once have to learn how to avoid voluntarily signing up for their statutes. And there are ways to do it. You're going to end up in court. They're going to give you a ticket. You're going to end up in court. Well, what are you going to do? Throw this book of laws or something at the judge? I certainly hope that you're wiser than that. You just stand on your ground, because you know the minute you get into that court, you are in a criminal court. Every traffic violation is a criminal charge. You go 2 miles above the speed limit, that is a criminal charge. You are now a criminal. And all you have to do to set up your little game is to walk into that courtroom, and he's going to read your charges. And all you have to do is say, I'm sorry, Your Honor, I don't understand. And he'll say, Mr. Green, what is it that you don't understand? The statute says thou shalt change your license plate. Well, it isn't exactly that I don't understand. What I don't understand is under what, how am I being charged here? And finally you establish in your understanding that you are a criminal. Oh, then you're saying that this is a criminal court. Yes. And by now it's going to be purple. Breathing fire. This can go right on to the point where you make him justified because your right is to require that the judge tell you under what jurisdiction you are being tried or accused. And once you establish criminal, then you can say, you really presented a problem to me, Your Honor. I didn't hurt anybody. There's nobody here to charge me. I didn't hurt that cop. There's no corpus delicti. There is nobody I see filing charges against me. So I don't understand. I don't understand why I'm being put through this. Under the Constitution, you have to file some kind of charge against me and produce a complainant. Well, the statute says you must. Well, are you saying then, Your Honor, that I'm guilty under a statute? Does that mean this is a statutory jurisdiction? Well, yes, it's a statutory jurisdiction. Well, Your Honor, you are telling me that this is a statutory jurisdiction. I am given the right and you the authority to respond to me by telling me where I can go to look at this, see this, read it. And he's going to tell you that he cannot practice law from the bench. He will appoint a lawyer for you if you can't afford one. Well, I don't think I need a lawyer. I just need to know where to go find this. You see, it does not exist. There is nowhere to find it. And once you can establish that, Your Honor, are you saying that this court has some hidden secret law known only to you and to attorneys through which you're charging me and convicting me? Oh yes, if you do it right, my friends, you won't get out of that courtroom with a penalty against you. Unless you want to. And if you want to, you can take it to the higher courts. You see, at this point, they're not going to be interested anymore in the fees involved. Because you caught them at the game. And most of the time, in these smaller places, I can guarantee you the judge is not going to know what hit him. Nor will the attorneys, either prosecuting you or defending you. But once they've looked it up, they're going to find they are acting illegally in addition to unlawfully. And yet this is where we must go. This is where we must go as wise as serpent into their den and give them no excuse to stomp off. And it requires homework. It requires going in there prepared. Now you've got a problem. Everybody who has signed anything You see, even at that juncture of signing, let us say, your driver's license, they would pull out your driver's license and say, you signed this. That means that you have voluntarily agreed. So I'm telling all of you, you stop signing your name in that manner. Any kind of a document, you see, you have all these legal terms, but what we really are presenting is a simile, something similar to a contract. So it's called a voluntary agreement. You sign it, you agree to follow all these things they're going to do to you if you break their rules. They know it is unconstitutional. So in the writing of these laws that they have brought down upon you, they know that they don't have it against you unless you waive your rights. Which you are automatically doing the moment you sign that document. They know it, so they've written it in there after volumes of nothing words. Come two or three little sentences that make all the difference in whether you win or lose. And whether you make them mad and tick them off or you do it properly. And they don't even know you've done it until it's confrontation time at some point. Now, Dr. Smith will tell you, sign your name, TCD, TDC, something like that, which means under threat, coercion, and something.
Duress.
Don't do that. If you want to scribble TDC out there, do it. But the verbation, the verbalization, come on, Norma, literally says, without prejudice, under protest, I refuse several things. Don't clutter your mind with it. I've given you the only two. I just assume you not even remember that I said another word. Under UCC, the Unified Commercial Code, am I right?
Uniform
Commercial Code, you have a bunch of rules. Number 147-207 and 147-103 are the ones you want. They are the ones that if you append those numbers to your signature, you have waived nothing. All of your rights under the Constitution remain intact because they must conform to the common law in all instances. If you have not waived your rights, so get yourself a stamp. And when you sign your name, right underneath it, put without prejudice. They'll actually think you're a nice guy. You don't have any bad bigotry problems. Without prejudice, UCC 1-207, 1-103. And that nullifies any of their charges against you. You have retained, without saying a word, all of your rights under the Constitution of the Continental United States of America, of which you are a citizen. You are not a United States citizen of the legislative United States. The Continental United States has three branches. Congress has made all its laws for the legislative United States of America. But you have to act in wisdom. And you don't ever go pick a fight with a judge. I can guarantee you every time you do, you will lose. Every time you do, you'll lose.
I got some new tapes from Bo Greitz, and he says he has it all written out for us in his new newsletter. He's supposed to have all of that written out so that we could just copy it, and he needs like a 3x5 card or something. So we always have it with us. And he said if you can get his newsletter, he has it written out now. He just in a new tape.
Most of it is written out very succinctly in Slay the Dragon 2.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Early on we covered it. But it's coming into remembering time because it will be you patriots who stand on the Constitution who will stop the loss of your Constitution. These are the reasons, and the pressures will get heavier and heavier against you now. Because enough people are speaking out and refusing to play in that game of the Internal Revenue Service and the Federal Reserve Bank to damage them. They're losing control. They don't care about the money. It doesn't exist. There is no such thing.
Does this tie in at all with Freeman's approach?
Absolutely.
I thought it was the same thing.
I like a lot of the things that Smith or Scott, yes, Doc Scott, I think they call him.
Yeah, Doc Scott.
It's basically the same thing. I like the more gentle approach. You're going to get farther. Scott comes forth a little bit antagonistic, and they will try to work up a case against you on that basis, and there are a lot of flakes playing in the game, and they don't care a whit about the Constitution, just winning their own little tiny problems. That's all right. Don't misunderstand that you shouldn't stand on the Constitution on your own right. But the point is to bring your Constitution into workability again and not allow them to ever, ever, ever hold a convention, because it will be gone. That is the plan. And your perception will be that, well, so much has been taken and given and taken and given until you're too confused to understand. And where they've already done that under executive order anyway. All of that under the Constitution will have to be put aside. And that requires the masses of people. And if the masses of people allow a constitutional convention, you are done, because it will be done and then it will be law. And they've already written it into the law, so they don't have to change their book. So I'm always these days confronted with very large problems of how much humans can do in a given period of time. We need to discuss what God is and where you're headed, along with where your country's headed in this experience, and what you can do to protect yourself so that you can live to struggle tomorrow. Because the point is to stop you from being able to struggle tomorrow. And they've worked you into this little corner over here with just a little peephole out. And they don't like us coming along and uncovering the doorway. But groups are springing up many patriot groups are coming for. And because this is happening, I can turn my attention somewhat into what is really important, and that's your own place within self and your relationship with creation. Man cannot live by bread alone, but I want to tell you something. If you can't live long enough in this physical to come to some justification with souls, you're going to realize you shouldn't have needed that bread. So it's a big time of mind changing, attention changing. And you can't carry the whole load. No one person, no one group.
Can I have a question?
Yes, go on.
I have a question that I've been thinking about since the last time you spoke, because I've been trying to understand it. You were describing the fall, the Lucifer, the creation of Lucifer and the fall, and how Lucifer or God created the first separation, fragmentation of himself in Lucifer, but then yet there was archangels with him, I'm presuming, so he wouldn't have been the first created type of being. So does that mean that Lucifer was the first being of human creation?
No, precious.
Okay.
There is no way in this room I can go into the higher workings of the universe and have you more than just hear me. You have nothing upon which to relate the associations I would give you. The universes, the allness, is unlimited, without beginning, without end. And suddenly one day a world was created and man put upon it is not the way it is. And at the nullification or voidance point comes the new creation or the new beginning, if you will. And it was at this point where there was created the two. And I will say at this point of creation of Lucifer, Lucifer was the perfection.
At the highest level.
At the highest level, representing the two opposite poles, if you will. The positive and the negative.
So he was different in his makeup than would be Archangel Michael. Is that correct? Is an archangel, that's what I'm trying to understand. Because Archangel Michael was one who threw him out, so to speak.
But archangels are vapor. Archangels are a thought projection of energy form. You have conjured them up to have wings and things like that.
But they're not a human.
They're not human.
They're not human. Okay, that's what I'm trying to understand.
Some have experience as human, if that's what they chose to do.
So what makes them not human? They don't have the...
They have no human form. They have no human traits.
No.
They are of the ethers. They are of energy. They are of light.
And no duality.
I didn't say that.
Oh, no, okay.
But I can tell you this. You're not going to get farther than there to reach total misunderstanding. And if you try to explain it, precious, you're going to get in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
You're coming into understanding. You're going to be speaking to a room, have been fed a bunch of baloney.
So is it best to just give them a kind of a wait, just a... I don't want to just give them a story, but yet it sometimes helps to tell it like a story, you know.
Well, that's what's gotten you into trouble.
To tell it like...
Not you, but the world.
Yeah.
Parables are great.
Mm-hmm.
But parables can also be misunderstood. And this idea, and I've used it myself, of Lucifer being kicked out of heaven and Michael at the confrontation. You see, there is no way that it could work that way. But what are you going to do? Walk out there and here sit 600 eagle faces to find out about what it's like. And you walk out and you say, there's nothing. Goodbye. Well, that's the truth of it. I thought it would be nice to do this today. Well, would you explain that to me, please, God? Well, let's see. Well, then why do I want to do these bad things? Well, you know, I had this son, and he was really a bad kid. Lucifer was not bad. Lucifer was perfect. And let me tell you something about Lucifer. Regardless of what I might want to say negative about that projection, he has been perfection, has he not? Well, it depends on your perspective of everything. Everything longs for imbalance and then longs again for balance. It is simply the changing perception of the energy flows and how they manifest. I can tell you that there is evil on your plate, but you're not going to go find one person and say, you're it. I can call it adversary, which is Satan, with little s. And to make it more clearly understood, we can put a capital S so that we have something to call him. But already the perception is wrong.
Well, people have asked, do you perceive Satan to be a being or an energy by himself? And I just say, all I can say is it's an energy. I mean, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to answer
it. It is just the negative energy.
That's how you perceive it, but they want to know if it's like a person, you know, like a being. Is there a being, Satan?
No.
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 No. Okay.
In fact, we're really stretched out there to say evil exists. Mm-hmm. Evil is the dark side of experience. No more and no less. The negative flow, if you will.
It exists because we recognize it?
Yes. If you recognized it not, it couldn't be.
Because I said that, and I don't know how it came out of my mouth sometimes. I'm like, what is that?
Well, and then, well, right. And then they come back and they say, well, would you explain that, please?
I repeated it. Did you hear that? I just... I put it on the tape of that, on the video disc, and I repeated it like I knew what I was saying.
Well... You're safe, because no matter what you say up there is valid. You're walking through an experience. And you're given, as the fragment, free will choice to decide. As a creator of the scenario, you might well feel that you're destined to do something. The only thing you are destined to do is make that cycle. And it takes some a long time to do it. At best, it takes the entirety of an experience. And that means traveling both sides of that wheel. And then, of course, you've got wheels inside wheels and inside wheels.
Can Lucifer been on the good side too? Traveling on both sides?
Well, you can't describe it as being on one side or the other. He has traveled through all of the cycles.
In dark?
And
No.
Because you have to again remember there is a point of oneness, wholeness, and voidness, where nothing exists. It is neither good nor bad. It isn't. And that's the point where the big boy gets to make the next decision what we're going to do with that energy form. And when the play ends, when all come back, then we decide maybe we'll change the play. Until that happens, until all fragments are brought back, the experience and the play will go on. You're not by a long way done with play. You only have become just a new little person. Man is still just a baby. You're hardly out of the dark ages. And I'm using the term you as generically as I use the term man. There will be all varying levels of experience. Some of you will finish this scenario or play and come home just to experience the balance for a while. But man as a whole in this particular scenario and growth of a group of men, mankind, civilization, an Adolf Hitler, let us just use as an example, that you perceive to be totally evil. He's got to grow back into godness, so he may have a little farther to go, and all of you won't make it back till he makes it there too. Now you've got to do something in the meanwhile. So there will be different levels of experience. I thought Dorma would never ask me. What happened then at Atlantis? What happened at Mu? What did we do there? Because all of you will recognize having been there.
All of us were there?
All of you were there. All of you were. All of you were there.
Please let me change the tape.